the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you...
Hello and welcome to Education Now. I am your host, Athena Melville. In this February 2014 edition of Education Now, I welcome Bart Terrio for a focus on Montessori madmen. Hello, Bart Terrio, and welcome to Education Now. I want our listeners to know that Bart Terrio is the head of school at the Montessori Academy at Belmont Green in Ashburn, Virginia, a full AMS affiliate school where his mother, father, and wife are all trained Montessori teachers. He is a passionate advocate of Montessori and of children. He holds the AMS Early Childhood Teaching Credential and is the CFO and an instructor at the Northern Virginia Montessori Institute Teacher Education Program. Bart is also a Montessori alumni himself and father of four Montessori boys. He is involved in numerous local and international charity efforts, and he is one of the Montessori Mad Men, a group of dads helping to lead the Montessori movement. And I just am so happy to welcome you to Education Now, Bart.
Thank you for having me, Athena.
Oh, it's just my pleasure. Can you tell our listeners about Montessori Mad Men?
Sure. We are a group of dads who kind of haphazardly came together after being introduced to Montessori. And when we learned about Montessori, we were blown away, and we wanted to learn more. In that research, I think we all kind of came to the conclusion that not a lot of people know about Montessori. And frankly, that was actually pretty surprising to many of us. And so it really sort of inspired us to take action. Each of us sort of took action in different ways, and we found each other through that action. So I would say the first sort of madman would be Trevor Eisler, who wrote the book Montessori Madness. And he also wrote a really excellent, or I guess he created it's called a Fast Draw, perspective of Montessori. So we sort of, each of us found Trevor in different ways. And that's how we sort of started to get rolling, I should say. Over the years, what has happened is that we've each sort of come up with our own projects, and now the way it looks is the core group of Montessori, each one of us is sort of working in Montessori in different ways. So Trevor has written the book, and he's working to get a charter Montessori school started in his home of Austin, Texas. Bobby George, his wife is a trained Montessori teacher, and he runs along with her, the Bondeck Montessori School in South Dakota. Iden McCauley, his wife, is an instructor, and they work in St. Louis, and they're actually working with Annette Haynes to try and put together a lab school. Daniel Petter Lepstein is one of our great voices, and he's been contributing to different marketing ideas. And then, of course, I myself run my own Montessori school, the Montessori Academy, and I work in the teacher training program.
Yes, it just sounds so fantastic. I am so impressed that you are, you went to Montessori school for preschool and kindergarten, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And then you returned to Montessori when?
Well, all along, you know, my mother, she became a Montessori teacher shortly after I graduated from Montessori kindergarten. And so, you know, I went through high school and through college with her all along being a Montessori teacher. So I never really left Montessori.
Right.
But I, you know, I got a degree in finance, and my mother was founding a Montessori school. And she said, you know, I'd really like somebody to come in and run the business side of things. And, you know, with my business degree, I said, it sounds like a great idea. And so I had been working, you know, in the finance world for several years doing various different jobs. And then, you know, I made the transition into the Montessori world, which is a big transition. And you know, ultimately, this is 15 years later now, but I have my Montessori certification. And I went from sort of running facilities and finances to now doing, you know, everything. I, you know, I'm advising on the academic level. And of course, I'm, you know, working in the classrooms and things like that. So it's been a really great process.
Yes, it is. And you're married to your wife, Jill, is also a Montessori teacher. Is that correct?
That's right.
And she's the assistant head of school operations. And I just think that's so fantastic. I know it's a family affair. All four of my sons were Montessori students, and then I started a private Montessori school, and they all, to the two older boys who are twins, had public school for a few years. But then in 1980, when public school with Ronald Reagan just deteriorated in California, I started this private school, and so they became students there. So they and my other two sons all went. They went through 10th grade, and my other two sons were the first. One of them was one of the first graduates of the school, and the other one then graduated a few years later. So it was, you know, and my husband, who was a professor of philosophy, he also became part of the school. and but you're so right. Once you find Montessori, it's hard to believe that everyone doesn't know about it.
I think that's one of the things that really, you know, unites the madmen. And, you know, I mean, Trevor's book is precisely about that. And you know, I was talking with Iden McCauley, who's one of the members recently, and he was saying, you know, it was almost by accident, you know, that he found out about Montessori. His wife was going through the training. They had a child in the Montessori school. And, you know, they were offering all kinds of parent education events, but he admitted sheepishly that, you know, it had been a year and a half that his daughter had been there, and he had not attended any of the parent education events, you know, and his wife had been encouraging him all along to go. So he finally goes to one. And he was literally blown away. And what he was blown away by, you know, among other things, was sort of the idea of cosmic learning and how children learn so many things just from one experience and how that is actually the focus of the classroom. And he, you know, he was like, well, why did it have to be by accident that I found this out? And so, you know, in digging, he found Trevor. And Trevor had been speaking at Montessori schools at the time about this very thing, because Trevor was also mad. And this is where the name Montessori Madman comes from. Because we're essentially mad at the fact that this wonderful, amazing, really well-conceived program has been out there since 1907, and nobody knows about it.
Yes.
You know? And so in getting together, what we've been trying to do is kind of create a larger voice for Montessori.
Yes. Well, I found out about you because two of my sons are Montessori teachers now. In a Montessori charter school here in Northern California.
You must be very proud.
I am very proud. I'm very proud of both of them. And one of them said to me, you know, Mom, you ought to check out Montessori Mad Men. Wow, you know. And I said, well, I'll do that. So he led me to you. And that was wonderful for me. And what about, as far as the book goes, how could people get the book?
You know, you can definitely go through the website, Montessori Mad Men. You can contact Trevor directly that way. You put it up on the Facebook, I'm looking for it, and somebody will grab you. I mean, it all is through Trevor himself, but I know he's got them, and he'll send them out. They're excellent for schools, especially.
Right.
To kind of be distributed to parents, because they are, you know, Trevor is a dad. And actually, this is another thing that sort of unites the madmen, is that we're all dads.
Right.
In point of fact, I'm the only one who is actually Montessori trained out of the group. The rest of them were introduced you know, purely in their capacity as fathers, which is a major capacity. I don't mean to diminish that at all, but that's you know, that's why I think Trevor and frankly the Mad Men are so valuable, is that we represent a point of view that, and you may know this, being in Montessori for a long time and being in education for a long time, we represent a segment of the population, dads, that is very underrepresented in, you know, early childhood education.
Oh, it really is. And it's so important. It's just, I just am so thrilled that this is happening, and that dads are doing it, really. It's just awesome. And now, I want our listeners to know Montessori Mad Men has a website.
Yes, we do. It's MontessoriMadMen.com. And you can also like us on Facebook.
Right, and they have a Facebook page, Montessori Mad Men, and as well as the as a website. And I wanted, how can our listeners help support the project?
That's a great question. You know, and we get daily, you know, people joining the website and asking, you know, what they can do. And sometimes people come in with their own ideas. You don't have to do, you know, something major like a flash mob or anything like that. You know, there are a lot of ways to get involved. And one of the things that we really, you know, again, this is sort of a unifying theme in our interactions within the Mad Men, is that, you know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to start the conversation with Montessori. What we're really trying to do is affect a change in education. And while we believe that the conversation ultimately will end with Montessori, it doesn't necessarily have to start there. So you don't have to go into your principal's office and throw down Maria Montessori's, you know, The Observant Mind and say, read this. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. But what we're really trying to do, I think, is to really get people to focus on how we view children. And that's not just, you know, in education, it's as a society, but, you know, how does education meet the needs of children? And asking the questions in the right way. So just by, you know, looking at, you know, our website and going to that resources page, you know, it's a really a great resource, and it's a great way to find your inspiration. I give talks to dads and to parents, you know, at different Montessori schools, and oftentimes, you know, the real benefit to those talks isn't even necessarily what I say so much as it is just that we have the parents together and that they're spending time thinking and discussing the aspect of child development, because it's not something that we all kind of think about, you know, on a daily basis, especially not dads.
Right.
So to answer the question, what you need to do is to really just start digging. Start looking a little bit further into, you know, the education system. I think we kind of, you know, go along with what we have. But, you know, if you really think about school, somewhere along the line, and it's long before I was in school, but somewhere along the line, I think it became okay for children to dislike school. You know, as if it's sort of like a medicine. And, you know, if it tastes bad, it must be, you know, good for you. It doesn't have to be that way. And what I see and you see and people close to Montessori see is children who love learning. They love everything that's going on in school,
right.
You know. But if you haven't seen that, then, you know, you really kind of, your eyes haven't been open to it yet. And the possibility of it just doesn't exist.
Right. That school should be fun. I mean, pleasure, the leisure, you know, school comes from the term leisure in Greek, and so it's supposed to be pleasure. It's supposed to be pleasurable. It's not supposed to be this grind that you hate, and sometimes I think maybe that's why it's such a well-guarded secret, Montessori. She was so ahead of her time.
Oh, for sure.
And the sad thing is that all of these reforms that are happening, or deforms is what I call them in public education, they're not taking into consideration any of the child growth and development aspects of childhood. They're not taking that into consideration. I cannot believe that.
I mean, the focus is now, you know, science and technology and math, and this is what apparently our society needs more of, but I just think that's such a small view. It's such a myopic view, because you know, you go around and you meet adults every day who, you know, lack these very fundamental skills. These are the skills that make the world go round, the skills of, you know, generosity and empathy and confidence and problem solving and adaptability and the ability to choose between wants and needs. I mean, in Montessori, this is the focus. This is what children learn. And so if you want to look for something to do, go into your child's traditional classroom and ask the teacher, how do you, in this classroom, in the place where my child spends 6-7 hours a day, how do you focus on helping them to develop the skills they need for living? How do you develop confidence? How do you develop the ability to choose between wants and needs? And the good teachers will have an answer. Mm-hmm. You know, but those good teachers, what you find very often is that they're finding a way to make that happen in a system that is not conducive to it.
Right.
They're working against the system to make it happen.
That's right. That's
but
so
these
true.
Children spend so much time in a school, you know, shouldn't they be learning how to live, you know?
Right.
And shouldn't it be supportive of what happens at home, you know, and the home be able to support what goes on in school? It's very difficult to support a teacher-led program.
Yes, it is. All of the pluses, multi-age, you know, that a classroom has many different age, children of different ages in the classroom. That is so wonderful because then a lot of peer teaching happens, and that peer teaching really increases the confidence of the students. And not only that, but then they take ownership of the classroom, which is so fantastic. And it just, anybody who visits, it just comes away like, oh my goodness. And I know I went to a Montessori conference in San Francisco year before last, and they tried to duplicate that, you know, a glass classroom that Montessori had at the World's Fair at the turn of the century, and where, you know, the children were all just working in the classroom and people were watching, and it didn't bother the kids at all. They were just happily doing their work. That is, you know, doing their, what they call work, which is they love, you know,
yeah.
You know, they, which they have a passion for, which is the, you know, the goal is to do work that you have a passion for. And so it's just really makes me happy that more fathers are getting involved in this. But it also makes me happy that there's a great movement to bring Montessori to public schools. And there's the National Center for Montessori in the Public Sector. That's happening, and then there's this map that you know that they're developing. Have you seen that? Where they are mapping all of the Montessori schools, not only in the United States but all over the world.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, we were kind of working on something like that at the Montessori Mad Men website, which was basically a way to create this map of not just the schools but just everybody who is connected to Montessori in some way, and as a resource of, you know, again, just uniting us. Because one of the things that you find when you really look into Montessori, very, you know, deeply into Montessori, you start to realize that it's not exactly the most united group. And in order to really, you know, send a unified message, obviously you have to be united. And so kind of this is another area where the Mad Men have kind of tried to make some headway, which is to say that, you know, you don't have necessarily have to be affiliated with AMS or AMI in order to learn and contribute and be a part of the Montessori movement. You know, Montessori is, you know, it's a method and it's a philosophy, and it really, you know, works. But if we have difficulty, you know, at the very basic level of, you know, just uniting the various groups, then how could we possibly get out there and speak with one voice?
Right. Well, it's kind of, you know, very, it's such an individual kind of an educational process. You know, you're looking at the individual child in the process and trying to follow that child and their interests, and so that in my opinion, a really good Montessori teacher is watching all of the time and bringing things into the classroom that she sees you know, with each individual child is something that might appeal to them and to their interest. And so that individual kind of thing, you can see why then the parents of those children would be hesitant to join big movements. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I have seen that AMS and AMI are being more cooperative with one another.
Definitely.
And I have seen that this movement for Montessori in the public sector is being embraced by both AMS, American Montessori Society, and AMI, American Montessori International. And then there is a public Montessori group that got started, NAMI, I think it is. And they are very, you know, supportive, but they want to maintain their own identity at the same time. But I think that almost always, perhaps the leading speakers are male, but the people who are doing the grunt work are mostly female.
Yeah, I think if you look at, you know, even us, and we are, you know, we're dads, we're men, but you go and look at, I think we have something like 2,500, you know, likes on the Facebook page and a lot more who follow. The vast majority are women.
Right.
You know, I mean, I go to these Montessori conferences. You know, I was at the one in San Francisco, and something like 3,000 teachers were there or something like that. And you know, the men are few and far between. In fact, they take all of the men's bathrooms and turn them into women's bathrooms. So as a man at these conferences, if you want to find a bathroom, you got to walk, you know, all the way to the other side of the hotel. And then we see each other in the bathroom. We kind of give each other this look like, hey, yeah, yeah, you're a man in Montessori, you know. Although I did note that at the last conference, the Dallas, the upcoming one, it seemed like all of the keynote speakers for the AMS conference were are men.
Yes.
Which I found interesting. Maybe they're trying to, you know, sort of, you know, take advantage of what I do see as a trend of more dads, you know, getting involved and more men getting involved.
Yeah, well, that would be great. I know the you know, in terms of rewards and punishment, Dan Pink, you know, who wrote, you know, about motivation, and it has proofs about it, and you know, just proves Montessori's point that, you know, carrots and sticks don't work. You know,
Alfie Cohn says it very well, also in. Punished by rewards.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, though, I mean, this is a hallmark of traditional education to use, you know, punishment and rewards and to make, you know, the work about the result as opposed to the process.
Right.
And to devalue those efforts and, you know, to give the gold stars and the checks and all of the, you know, the positive reinforcement in spite of the fact that, you know, there are so many studies out there that show that it actually has the opposite effect.
Right.
And this is something, again, that, you know, how do you handle behavior and motivation and the social-emotional growth? I mean, you have to think at that level, but that's a huge part of your emotional growth is knowing, you know, containing that love of learning, maintaining that love of learning, you know, knowing why you do things and finding value in your own efforts. That is social and emotional growth. How do you address that?
Right. And how do you measure it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. I find it very frustrating. It makes me feel like they don't want people to be successful in education. So we will just keep this fantastic Montessori education for those very special people, and then the rest, especially those who live in poverty, who need it so badly. We will just keep them in the dark. And so I guess while your goal and the other madmen is to get the fathers involved, my goal and my hope is that we bring this fantastic Montessori educational system to those who really need it so badly. And that's why I'm very excited about Montessori in the public sector.
I agree, and I shouldn't say that we are only aimed at men. Of course not, you know, and we have some great men who are helping us to kind of lead this charge. And, you know, we have a couple of moms, and they are, you know, speaking with a very loud voice as well. We aren't just men, but definitely right. that's how we got right. started.
You're co-ed, even though you're called Montessori Madmen, you're co-ed.
It's
but
true.
You're called Montessori Madmen because there's so few fathers involved in early childhood education or in education at all, unless it's up in those upper levels like the principal or the board of, you know, the president of the board of education or something like that. So this is great. Now, when did you say, what year did Montessori Madmen get started?
We've only been around, I think, as an organization, so to speak, a group of united, you know, individuals for about 3 years. Trevor's book was kind of the catalyst. And then, you know, I heard Trevor speak actually around the time he had written his book and he was touring. And I heard him probably about 4 years ago, maybe.
Yes.
And he spoke at another school. And because I was a school head, you know, I sat and talked with him after the fact. And we talked about, actually, even then, we talked about, dad being this sort of untapped resource in parenting. Actually, what I was talking to him about was, you know, I give a lot of tours and I introduce a lot of families to Montessori, and very oftentimes I'm introducing just the mom. And, you know, I really think it's important to get the dads to come too, but a lot of times, and this is 5 years ago, but, you know, I didn't meet dad until, you know, he came in to pick up the child one day because mom couldn't pick up, and, you know, here I am IDing this person to make sure he's related to the child, you know. And so we were talking about how, you know, where are the dads? And then I saw that, I saw the fast draw and I saw, Trevor, you know, out there on the internet, and I said, I've got to contact him. So, you know, I sent him an email, said, do you remember me? He said, of course I remember you. Yeah. And so that was kind of how I found the group that had already, you know, gotten rolling. I think a lot of things happened very quickly. But it's about 3 years ago, I think, when everything started to really, really, you know, pick up.
Right. Just so exciting and wonderful. And that fathers, and so important that fathers get involved in their children's education. I know one effort that was made was to have this go to work with your parent day. So that in a lot of communities, there's a day when you bring your child to work with you. I know at least that's happening in Palo Alto, so that my granddaughters, you know, they would say, oh, well, tomorrow I get to go to work with dad, you know. And so that was one really wonderful way of getting the children more involved with the dads. But I have to say that, you know, my son, who has two daughters, teenagers now, 18 and 16, was very involved in their education, and I do believe it's because he was a Montessori a student. And when he took the girls out of Montessori school and put them in public school in Palo Alto, I was like, what? And he said, come and see what we've done here. And in Palo Alto, Bart, they have the choice of a number of different educational philosophies where they can send their child to school. So parents have to be involved because they have to know where, you know, unless you want to just send them to the closest one. And they had made a Montessori school, I mean, a public school that was so Montessori. It even had a farm on it, you know, with animals, and there were multi-age groupings so that a child stayed with the teacher for more than 1 year. And there were, you know, there were ways of taking what you were learning academically and then doing plays, you know, and shows, and so that the arts were integrated with the academics. Very, very Montessori. And I said, great. You know, I was so happy that.
Well, something that you said, you know, just kind of triggered a thought in my head. And I want to be clear that when I say, you know, getting dads involved, I'm not implying that it's an all-or-nothing thing, and that dads are out there just not doing anything, not participating. I mean, dads are involved in education, but what we try to do, I think, in the Montessori Madmen is to get them to look at it in a way that very likely they have never looked at it before. And I'm going to give you an example of my own sort of growth as a parent. And, you know, keep in mind, I'm a trained Montessori teacher. I've been in Montessori for 15 years. I'm a Montessori alumni. You know the whole thing when you hear this story. So it's actually two stories, and my son, my oldest son, when he was about six, I guess, The first story is this. You know, I was sitting on the back porch, and I looked kind of out in the yard, and he's down, crouched down, looking really closely, inspecting something, and he's kind of looking at it, and he picks something up, and he moves it over, and I said, you know, what are you doing? And he said, well, you know, there was an ant, and I moved it so that it didn't get stepped on. And I said, you know, that's nice. And then, you know, the other story is I'm at a DC United soccer game, and, you know, we're standing over there in the crowd, and everything's going on, and you know, I get this tug on my shoulder, Dad, listen, it's the guy said last call, you got to make sure to get a beer. I said, okay. And you know, those two stories are vastly different, but which one do you think, as a dad, that I shared with the guy, you know? And so obviously I shared him, you know, the one about
getting a beer.
Yeah. So I shared the story about him sort of being my wingman. And really, the more remarkable of the two stories is that, you know, my son, with the ant story, I mean, he, you know, what did he show there? I mean, he showed patience. He showed curiosity. He showed empathy. He showed problem solving. He showed all these wonderful things, right? That I definitely proceeded to share with all the teachers that I work with because I have that outlet. But we, you know, if we just share that other story, we overlook all of these great things, you know, and we miss out on them just because we are sort of men and we share things in a certain way, or we look at things in a certain way. So we look at that, and you know, and that's why we're trying to engage dads. It's not so much that they need to participate, because dads participate very much so. It's just that you have to look for the right things, because then when you see them, then you're looking for them even more, and that's how you encourage them, that's how you promote them, and then, of course, that's how you learn more.
Right. I think that they care. I think the vast majority of fathers care. And I feel that many more of them is in the kind of communities where there is a great deal of poverty would be more involved if the families didn't actually lose money if the father stays in the home. And so, you know, and it's not a matter of not being interested. But I know that there's an effort on the part of these fathers who are even living in poverty. They have now gotten a radio show on KPFA in San Francisco, you know, called All About Dads. And, you know, they're talking about what you can do, you know, how to be with and their own experiences and encouraging others. Where I think if women were doing that show and calling it parenting, I don't think you'd have that involvement of dads. And that's how I feel about this Montessori Mad Men. I think that because you are a group of males presenting this, that you will get more fathers involved because you are males.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the idea, and it's been working. I mean, we really get, you know, a lot of dads, you know, sort of joining up with us, and they're all looking for what to do. And the interesting thing is sort of how we operate is, you know, like I said, we all have our own sort of projects going on. But one thing I love about the Montessori Mad Men, especially, you know, Trevor and those guys, they are doers. You know, I think I'm a talker and a thinker, you know, as compared to them. I've done some doing, but these guys are doers. And so when the right thing comes around, I mean, they will just jump on it and give you the full support, you know, and make it work. So everybody sort of, in a way, the Mad Men have kind of, we are in a point where things are kind of slow right now.
Uh-huh.
But everybody in this group sort of stands at the ready for the next big thing to come along. And who knows what it will be. That's why we need more people sort of communicating with us and joining the website and reading what we have to say. I mean, as an example, one of the things that we talked about periodically over the years has been, I think there's still 17 states in the country where paddling and corporal punishment are still, you know, allowed in public schools.
Isn't that sickening?
17 states. States, not like counties, not just individual schools, it's still allowed. And, you know, why hasn't that become an issue? Why aren't people talking about that?
Yeah.
But well, it's another way of just, you know, not sort of looking behind the curtain and kind of keeping things, you know, okay, well, you know, it works.
Yeah. Well, you know, the man who wrote Discipline in the Family or something, who is a reborn Christian, who comes out of Colorado, Colorado Springs, I think, and wrote this book, you know, about parenting. And, you know, it's, you know, yes, hit them, you know. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe that, you know, this man is advising people to hit their children and presenting himself as some kind of an expert on child growth and development. Why isn't he being arrested? You know.
Well, I'll tell you. It's a drastic thing. It isn't all that different, really, from the result that's achieved through long-term administration of penalties and rewards. You know,
right.
I mean, the result ultimately is the same thing. It's just that, you know, where a physical punishment tends to have a more immediate impact. You know, the other is I think felt as strongly over a longer
right.
period.
The physical might leave visual scars, but the other leaves huge emotional scars for the child. And there are many of us who are very concerned about, you know, offering, you know, testing in kindergarten.
Athena, you're mad.
Yeah, taking away.
I'm
very mad. I'm androgynous. And so I get to be one of the Montessori madmen. I'm androgynous.
You're an honorary madman for sure.
All right. I mean, you know, like, it's criminal. It is abusive to take away recess from children at a point when you need to move. Movement is so intricately connected to brain growth and development. Now, see, that is the thing. Why are there people making decisions about our children who don't know this? You know, it's criminal, really. I really feel that it is criminal, and I do not understand why we allow it as a nation. I don't. It's infuriating to me.
Well, maybe parents have been sort of pushed aside in the equation a little bit in school, you know, and you know, they feel kind of disconnected from the school, so they don't really feel that it's their place to even go in
right.
and talk to them about what they do, because they're not really kept in the loop except for sort of what they want them to hear. And
right.
so you kind of just, like I said, we just sort of go along with things, and then suddenly here we are.
Right.
We realize that, but maybe no one's realizing it, and it is maddening.
Right, it is maddening, and my goal has been to empower parents. You know, many parents don't even know that they have the choice to refuse the testing.
Mm-hmm.
And many people, teachers in public school, are told they cannot tell the parents that they have a choice. If the parent asks, you know, to me, that's a breach of trust between a parent and the school.
The parents in public schools consists of a large group of parents whose children are doing quote-unquote well. You know, they're progressing through. There's really nothing wrong, you know, that they can see. The child's getting good to average grades. So the test for that parent is just something else that goes along with school. And if everything's going fine, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The parents that the schools hear from very often are the parents of children who have special needs or learning disabilities or learn differently, which actually encompasses every single child there.
That's
but,
right.
But the ones who actually stand out and maybe have some kind of diagnosis such as ADHD or something like that, those parents are in there every day asking for accommodations. They're asking for different things, and they're getting them. And the school does a good job of, you know, sort of providing those things within the systems that they have. Okay, but that's relatively a small group of the parents. The parents who need to speak up are the ones whose children are doing well.
Right.
And those are the ones who, like I said, they need to start digging. Because when you look at what is actually going on, then you start to wonder if well is what you really want.
Yeah. They're not thriving.
Right. I mean, it's a word, and there are things that children could and should be learning that parents don't even really equate with school anymore. School is where you go to learn to read and write and do math. You don't learn how to be a human being. You don't learn how to value others. You don't learn the values that you're trying to teach at home. That's something that mom and dad need to teach. But how can you do that when your children are away from you for 6 hours a day in a school not learning it? In fact, in some cases, learning the opposite of what you want them to learn. You want them to be individual. You want them to seek out mistakes. You want them to seek out mistakes with the knowledge that they are actually the best opportunity to learn, not to avoid mistakes because they come with a penalty.
Right.
Now, these things you're trying to do at home are being undone at school, and because your child is quote-unquote doing well, they're getting grades, you don't really look, like I said, behind the curtain.
Right. It needs to be holistic.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is what Montessori education is. It's holistic. It takes into consideration the whole child and the whole curriculum. And then the child learns how everything is connected. I know when my two older boys came with me when I enrolled their brother in the Montessori preschool, the first thing that John said to his twin Nico was, "Look, Nico, the pink tower," you know, which he'd remembered, you know, and it made such an impression. Because that's another thing, the way that Montessori found a way to make these concepts concrete in her materials, and they just appeal to children. And the environment is so beautiful. All of the things that are lacking, that perhaps if more fathers got involved, there'd be more of a push and an insistence that we give our kids the very best, something we've known now for over 100 years.
Well, that's why I was kind of saying and sort of alluding to it that, you know, if the parents of the children who were doing well spoke up, you know, it would carry some weight. And, you know, because when you hear things from an unexpected place or from an unexpected source, it tends to be louder, you know. And so that's why we've kind of targeted dads because, as you said, they're so underrepresented. You know, that if they were to speak, you know, it might actually, you know, make some people listen. Because it's coming from an area where, you know, it's been pretty silent, you know, up to now.
Right. It has been pretty silent up to now. And I think the other thing that's so sad is the things that Montessori brought, like child-sized furniture, which everyone, you know, uses now. But she's never given credit, you know, for that.
Although, you know, if you know Dr. Montessori, she wouldn't want the credit. You know, she gives all the credit to the children, but not that I know her, but I know of her.
Right.
So, I mean, I think she's always been focused on, you know, everything that she did was already there, you know. And so what she did was sort of to take advantage of what she saw and observe, and that was obviously her greatest skill.
And follow the children and follow the child. But in following the child, she realized that their feet needed to touch the ground when they were sitting at a table, that made them feel secure. And so, you know, people followed suit, but they don't say, "We got this idea from Montessori." And while it's true, she, like, wouldn't want the credit. It seems unethical not to go to the source.
Yeah, and again, maybe that's part of the reason why people don't know as much about Montessori. But here's another one that you may find equally is difficult to swallow. But so in my county, which is Loudoun County, which is an excellent county, I believe it's the public schools are, you know, rated, I think, first in the state. So they're very good. A teacher, who's an excellent teacher, by the way, was just given an award by the county, I think, last year, for practicing differentiated learning in math.
Uh-huh.
And this now the term differentiated learning is this sort of new thing, right? And all the schools, it's all the rage. Differentiated learning means that, you know, children learn differently, and so if we can kind of teach them each differently and sort of find what works best with each child, then we're more likely, you know, to find a class where all the children are progressing.
Right.
I love the fact that they're giving rewards for this, but nobody said that Dr. Montessori and the Montessori schools around here have been doing it since 1907.
That's right. Nobody says that.
They left that part out. And it's this new thing, differentiated learning.
Right.
Love it. I love the trend. I'm so happy to see that they're doing it. But let's go back and maybe give credit where credit is due.
The same with the term child-centered.
Right.
It's the same thing. That's exactly what Montessori does. And I'm glad that it's happening, and certainly I'm just delighted that it's happening. And when I say, oh, how a Montessori, people sometimes get a little offended, and I say, well, if you can find someone older than she was that was doing that, well, then I'll be happy to say, oh, that person was doing it first. But still, when you do research, you're supposed to go back and note your sources. And so, come on, this is education. Go back and note your sources.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to know before we say goodbye if there's something you that you want to leave. We know now that in order to find the book, Montessori Madmen, just go to the website, MontessoriMadmen.com, and you can find information on how to get the book there.
Go through Trevor Eisler.
Trevor Eisler, he's on the website.
He is.
Right. And the Montessori Madmen has a Facebook page that people can go to and check it out and join. And anything else you want to,
Yeah, I think I would just like to encourage people, anyone who hears this, to definitely go to those sites and just peruse, especially the Facebook page, because what we do is basically throw things up on the wall and see what sticks. And so we are kind of an irreverent group. We're not just sitting here sort of proselytizing Montessori and it is the only way, it's the greatest thing. And, we are self-deprecating, we are irreverent. And sometimes, we even offend people. But that's how you get discussions going. There's all kinds of topics that are thrown around there. And, you can kind of make it your own, which is sort of the beauty of a Facebook page. But we're not just waiting. We're doing our own thing, but somebody comes on there and you say the right thing or you pose the right question and you could really create, the next sort of phase of a movement that's been a long time coming. So don't underestimate your own ability to make a difference. It starts with you asking a question. And you ask us a question and I promise you, you'll get an answer.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that, Trevor. Trevor. Thank you so much for that, Bart.
I'll thank Trevor, too, for you.
Thank Trevor. I just thank you so very much for being my guest here on Education Now. I am so excited that Montessori Madmen is happening, and I just want it to go soaring. And I feel like, really, there are more and more people who are becoming conscious of Montessori, and the more, the better. Especially the better for the children.
I agree. And thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
It was my pleasure. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Bart Terrio for his time. Trevor Eisler, the maddest man in Montessori, is the author of Montessori Madness, a parent-to-parent argument for Montessori education and several books for children. In the interview, Bart and I keep calling the book that Trevor wrote Montessori Madmen, but once again the book is called Montessori Madness. Trevor's day job is flying corporate airplanes. His three children are all Montessori students. He put together a fun video about the difference between conventional education and Montessori education titled Montessori Madness. You can find it on YouTube and also on the Montessori Madmen website. Montessori Madmen website is MontessoriMadmen.com. And they have a Facebook page, Montessori Madmen. And Trevor, his place of work is the Northern Virginia Montessori Institute, and you can find that at www.nvmi.org. And you can also find the Montessori Academy at Belmont Green, which is also part of Bart's work and Montessori with Montessori, and that's at www.mabmontessori.com. Cited in this interview was a show on KPFA called Father Figures. You can go to the KPFA site and check their archives for Father Figures. School and Leisure was also cited in this interview, and you can go to 3ws.google.com for the origin of the word school and its connection, school and its connection to leisure will come up there. You can listen and download free anytime at the website. And please join us on the Education Now Facebook page or our Google Plus page to leave comments and join the conversation. Bart said he would love to do a question and answer. And if you go to the Google Plus page or the Education Now Facebook page, you can leave questions for Bart. Education Now is a production of the Hermeneutic Institute for Holistic Health and Education, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Education Now is a proud supporter of the American Montessori Society. Sending cosmic love to all, this is Athena Melville, your host for Education Now, saying goodbye for now, and remember to follow the child.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by.